You're listening to Riot Gear, expert conversations on the things we have learned, helping business owners improve their digital maturity. And now here's your host, Rob Merkowitzer.
Welcome. My name is Rob Merkowitzer. I'm the Managing Director and CEO of Riot Solutions. Today we're going to have a chat to Nick Long. Nick Long's our National Product Manager for our Managed Security Services business. And we thought we'd spend some time today touching on a few key points around cybersecurity, why it's important, and some of the things that we're seeing and hearing from our customers. Hello, Nick. Maybe an introduction into your background and where you find yourself in Riot Solutions.
Thanks, Rob. So from a background point of view, I've had a lot of experience running large ICT teams, specifically from the government space over the years. And it's quite a journey for me going from that customer space, moving into the delivery of those services from a vendor point of view. I guess what really excites me and brings me to the table is to be able to draw on those experiences and put myself in the shoes of the customer and advocate for them, and more specifically bring that dark art of cybersecurity up to more of an executive level and enable the executive to have a conversation and understand where they sit from a cybersecurity point of view these days, and then be able to translate that back into solutions with inside their operational teams.
So one of the things that we obviously try to do here at Riot is make that question, that dark art of cybersecurity, easier to understand. And we talk a lot about security maturity. What sort of questions are you asking customers when you get in front of them?
Look, that's a very interesting question. It all depends on what levels of the customer that I'm talking to. But usually I try and have that C-level conversation with a CIO or CTO and really start at a baseline with them and understand where their foundational sense of cybersecurity is. And do they have an awareness of what perhaps their own maturity level is? Have they sat back and thought about that? Obviously, I like to take a very risk-based approach to cybersecurity and looking at a company's risk profile and make sure that they have awareness in at that executive level and try and remove the cybersecurity away from the operational space and more into the business, where the business owner understands that they are responsible for those critical information assets, given that that information asset drives the value, the delivery, and the return on whatever their business platform may be. But the first piece is to really lift that outside of the nuts and bolts and weeds of security back into more of a business conversation. Then from there, obviously I start pulling it apart with them and understand whether they have, based on that risk profile, do they understand, what sort of tolerances the business has against those risks. Given today with the cybersecurity compromises that we see levelled against us, you know, we're talking about operational impacts to businesses from threats and compromise. We're talking about financial impacts. We're talking about reputational damage, which can be quite a significant player in today's cyber landscape.
So you mentioned awareness, Nick, and I think this is really the foundation of the service that we've put a lot of time and investment and effort into over the last few years. Awareness is nothing really without visibility. And so what sort of things are we finding within these clients with what we potentially say would have a low level of maturity? How is visibility or the lack of visibility affecting of what they're trying to do?
You're right, Rob. Awareness and visibility is a very significant piece for businesses these days, whether it's awareness and visibility at the executive layer, whether it's awareness and visibility across your security control sets, or the awareness and visibility that needs to be addressed inside of the day-to-day people that run your business, you know, outside of that IT realm, in making sure that they have a good understanding of how to operate a business, utilizing those technology tool sets as a day-to-day piece, and making sure that you're not clicking on inappropriate emails, all the way through to, you know, smishing campaigns and the likes of that, which can open up doors of compromise. If we look at awareness around our security controls and awareness around our ICT environment, there's some very simple and easy pieces that you can do to get the detail that you need inside of that. I think vulnerability management is probably one of the most critical exercises alongside of phishing awareness that you can do inside of an ICT environment. You know, the ability to have insight into where those holes and potential compromise vectors may be is a cost-effective approach that you can take inside of your business and allows you to look at what needs to be addressed across your enterprise, and then you can start building in some of that maturity in aligning critical information assets against vulnerabilities through to the ease of ability that you can affect some of those vulnerabilities with an external compromise. I think tackling that alongside of your cyber awareness for your staff are probably the two biggest and most cost-effective approaches to dealing with that if you had to start somewhere.
So there's some basic advice there really in terms of how to take bites of the elephant. Cybersecurity and security in general is a fairly daunting task. We're seeing budgets increase more and more within customer sets for this particular investment in their IT portfolio. I suppose it's fair to say that some of these simple things are still the hardest to manage. Vulnerability management's one of them, which leads into patching, as we seem to find a lot. Still very difficult to do in most organisations, but again, having that visible layer seems, from what we've found, seems to increase that that ability to know where to go next. What do you do next? There's so much out there in terms of technology, in terms of service providers. We hear the word SOC a lot. Even doing it yourself, building your own team, and putting budgets towards full-time resources and operations centres. I mean, where do we guide our customers in terms of where that investment should be going?
So look, I think it's very important to have a baseline on where your cyber capability is. A lot of businesses today are aligning themselves to mature security frameworks such as ISO 27001 or a NIST framework. And really, you need to partner with the customer and understand what is the most applicable security framework for them to work in. And look, that may be for a very small company, just something as simple as mapping against the Essential 8 to understand, you know, what capability needs to be enhanced on a very low level. Once you understand with your customer where that baseline sits, then we look at a gap analysis. You know, we take, again, bringing in a risk view and mapping out the tolerances from an executive buy-in point of view from that risk framework. That will start defining where some of the controls need to be enhanced, and then you can pull that into with that gap analysis against that security framework. And it's always essential to keep looping back, and making sure the business is bought into this. With the business buy-in, obviously you will be seeking extra funding to move forward and start developing a security program of works.
So you talk about partnering. I think that's something that we strive for here at Wright on all things that we do, but particularly around cybersecurity and our managed security services. It really isn't a set and forget type model, is it? There's no silver arrow here. We're not trying to fix everything that we find within the first week or so. Talk to me more about the partnering component of how we're building out our product set within our managed security services. How important is it to make sure that we're staying connected to the customer from where we've started to the middle to maybe where we get them to in a few years' time?
So our maturity model with our customer base starts off working with the customer again, looking at that baseline and getting in the visibility where we need to on the most critical areas. I guess, you know, you've really got to close the gaps through that vulnerability visibility and then start building out greater visibility through our security and threat intelligence platform and looking at those controls and understanding against your risk profile what some of those compromise scenarios could be. There's obviously a base set of controls that we bring into the platform and start looking at that, but then we work with our customer base to build out a maturity journey. Once we get the base in, then we start looking at those critical information assets that they have, pairing that up with what we could see as further elements of compromise that could be brought inside of their business and start layering it out. We have a continued service improvement approach with the customer where each month we will spend time with the customer, not only going through the reporting that we see each month through the tool sets that we have, but what does that reporting actually mean to the customer? Where do they need to invest further back into their ICT security controls?
So you mentioned, Nick, something about context. Context is something that we hear about a lot in the industry. Some get it right, some get it wrong. We've spent a lot of time, I'd suggest, making sure that we're able to take a lot of this data, whether it's reporting, dashboards, lots of logs, and actually making it contextual to the customer's business. At a high level, how are we doing that? Because that sounds like we're making a lot of customized changes for each customer that we're bringing on board, or is it something that we're applying greater learnings to across all of our clients?
Absolutely. Each month through that reporting cycle, those data-driven metrics that we provide back to the customer gives us a great insight into where they need to mature. And obviously, you know, we've got a team of security analysts there that look at a raft of threat intelligence that we can get from our industry partners, and we start to build out a capability program and slowly but surely mature each month through with our customer base so that they're on a continued path. But, you know, security is an ongoing game in today's ICT landscape. Once you have those controls in place, you need to be measuring constantly what the outputs and throughputs of those controls are, and then you need to be monitoring the validity of what you're seeing across those platforms and then reporting back to the customer, reporting back into the executive, so that everybody has a insight into the cyber landscape.
And so that's becoming quite prominent recently with COVID, right? So the last 6-7 months, we've seen an increase of activity, not only in our own right, every other MSS and SOC around the globe. And of course, now we even see it out in the press becoming quite a consistent theme, even locally from a federal perspective, with the local announcement of the spend on cybersecurity in Australia. What is it about COVID that has increased the activity for most of our customers and most people globally over the last 6 or 7 months?
I think there's two key pieces here that have really affected our customer base. We've obviously seen a lot of increase in phishing campaigns leveled against our customers, and we've seen a lot more hacking through this COVID period, where the hacktivists are really trying to take, you know, the opportunity to level those threats against the customer base. But the other piece that we've seen is that the customer base has really had to mobilise and rapidly deploy solutions to address the change in workforce mobility, and access to the tools and applications that everybody's used to using inside an office every day. So whilst, you know, technology teams have been focused on that, you know, cybersecurity teams have been looking at bolstering gateways, trying to introduce newer or enhancements to technology sets such as multi-factor authentication. I think the eyes have been off the security landscape just a little bit, in that what we've seen is more success in some of those hacks and phishing campaigns, which has resulted into some damage to the customer base.
Yes, there's definitely been a lot more activity over that period. I'm sure we're going to see a lot more. Yes, yeah, so again, we get back to this point of taking our eyes off the road, and I think again that's a key component of the service we're trying to build to keep things simple and have this level of visibility that's quite high. We've had a couple of examples, specifically the last 8 or 9 weeks, of course, without mentioning any customers specifically. But there's two that really come to mind. One is a retail organisation that had a compromise that intended to encrypt a lot of their files, which pretty much shut the business down, and we came in afterwards, which is one example. I'd like to understand, when we spoke to that particular client, what it is that they really were interested that we could bring to the table. And then the second one is a customer that has been on our service for a period of time already, and had a similar thing happen to them. And I'm really interested to understand how quickly and what the response was like from us as a local team here in Brisbane for a global customer such as themselves.
Okay. When we look at that first customer that came to us during a crisis, I think the first thing they were looking for really was a safe set of hands to guide them through that period. I think that customer had spent a lot of time looking at or empowering some of the older school practices that we see in the ICT industry. There wasn't as much cloud adoption. There wasn't as much focus on security built into their day-to-day business practices. And I think this is where they got caught. So one of the first things that we obviously worked with them on was an incident handling process to rapidly respond, identify what the issues were, and close them down as quickly as possible. And fortunately for that customer, we could get inside of their business and isolate and mitigate the issues in a rapid response. I think the next piece that we worked with them on was that snappy baseline. Where are you at with your ICT security platform today? Obviously, it came from a very low base. And then we've mobilised quickly to start closing some of the gaps for them so that we don't see a repeat of the compromise that was already levelled with them. Once we closed a lot of those gaps, we then moved into that visibility space and started looking at the effectiveness of their controls and what we could see across those controls, and start to tighten a lot of that up. You know, this has gone across a nearly three-month period where the customer was quite weak in their cybersecurity space, and now we've lifted their platform to quite a reasonably mature capability to start mitigating against some of these compromise levelled against them, and definitely having the visibility to identify threats as they're coming through and stop them in their tracks. The other customer, fortunately for them, has got a more mature environment, and we do have that visibility and ability to respond and work with the customer quite rapidly. Unfortunately for this customer, being a global customer, they had an open network that connected to another country, and that other country was compromised by quite a significant cyber threat that was encrypting a number of the DCs inside of their environment and starting to move across to application servers. And that compromise had gained itself DA rights and then started tunneling out through that data center into partnering data centers from other national locations. Riot Solutions was able to pick that up rather quickly once it did enter the Australian environment, and then we could work with the customer doing incident response handling in mitigating what was going on locally in Australia and then channeling back through to where the source of the problem was and helping them assist on a global level to mitigate this incident as quickly as possible.
Right, and so this is where that partnering piece is really playing into itself, isn't it? It's rather than just finding and detecting, sending it over the fence and allowing or letting or relying on the customer to deal with it themselves, we're actually doing the hand-holding all the way through the process.
Absolutely. Security is not a set and forget. What we're seeing is most technology teams inside a business struggle with some of the more complex elements that we see within the security control sets that are available to us today. So this is why we particularly focus on that customer partnership. And it's a partnership from a technology layer, it's a partnership from a process and people layer to lift the customer on their cybersecurity maturity journey. And it works quite effectively to a point of where you get trust with your customer base and you are the first people that they call in a time of crisis. And we have the ability, obviously, through our cyber analysts and their forensic capabilities to mitigate some of these incidents as soon as they arise.
So as a customer, and we hear this all the time, why don't I do it myself? Why don't I take that budget that the board's approved, that the CISO and the CIO provide me to increase my security over the next couple of years, why don't I just invest that into people, process and technology from an internal perspective?
Look, a lot of customers make that mistake themselves. And unfortunately, technology-focused people like to get their hands on the tools and experiment and have a play with some of the amazing capability that's being put into the market space these days. Unfortunately, to be able to effectively operate some of these tool sets, it takes a lot of training, a lot of time, and a lot of experience under your belt to be able to leverage the best from these tool sets. And quite often in today's workspace, you need to have a lot of skills and capabilities across the board to be effectual in your job. And it's quite often you don't have the time to spend focusing on a new technology and its capabilities.
So do I lose control if I outsource that operational security component of my cybersecurity strategy? Do I lose control of what's happening on those tool sets in my environment?
No, you don't. A lot of operational people feel like they could be losing control and are handing over the wheel of their environment to an outsourced partner, when you need to flip it on its head and say, what are the benefits that this new relationship is going to bring to me? You know, do I get more time back inside my business to run my day-to-day processes and tasks that I need to do to maintain the enterprise in its state that it is? And how am I going to leverage the experience and capabilities that a managed service partner would bring to the table, and what are the benefits that are driven through that engagement? What we do when we partner with our customer is deliver those enhanced services. So a lot of people see an extra cost in moving to a managed service, but when you look at the pros and cons and weigh up a return on investment model against partnering up with a managed security provider, those benefits that you don't normally get from inside an operational team start to come to light, especially when you've got an extra set of hands that can journey with you in upskilling and communicating to an executive board level that really needs to be brought into that cybersecurity journey.
So Nick, you've been on both sides of the fence. You've come from a large government organisation where you had an operational security team under you, and you were responsible for, amongst many other things. Now you're on the commercial side, helping us develop a go-to-market product to hopefully solve some of these issues. What is the resistance? Why do organisations wait for the accident to happen before insuring themselves for it?
Look, I think, Rob, a lot of businesses these days are squarely focused on their customer, their product delivery set, their financials, their responsibility to a board and shareholders, that the new dark art of cybersecurity that's been emerging over the last few years is kind of something that they've left at the end of the table to deal with, as a last thing. Quite often when I go and talk to customers, you know, if it's inside their technology teams, it's seen as something that's a significant task to handle and bring maturity across your ICT practices and processes to start incorporating security inside of that. When you start looking at some of the frameworks that we use around NIST and an ISMS type framework, they're quite a significant piece of work to do, and quite often to do those effectively, you really need to dedicate time, money and people skills into developing out those frameworks. And then there's a lot of org change inside both the technology space and the business space that needs to happen to enable an effective security management practice to be delivered. So I think that the short answer is there's some apprehension, a little bit of nerves, and maybe somewhat a lack of ability to understand how to tackle that beast in its many forms effectively.
So it sounds hard to most organisations. If you think about how the industry's been playing to information security, which is what it used to be called before the word cyber got thrown in front of it a few years ago, we're talking security assessment, we're talking governance, risk and compliance, GRC engagements maybe by the Big Four. We're then faced with a document or a strategy that talks about investing more money into technologies, into processes, into having more people, potentially outsourcing the entire lot to a SOC, a security operations center. I mean, all these things sound daunting, which is probably why most organizations, when first looking at it, want to run and hide from it. Now, the task that Wright has set you in terms of developing our managed security service, what is the main drivers behind it? What are the three things that we're really pushing for to make sure that we don't end up having these same daunting conversations with organisations that we've been discussing today?
Look, I think the answer for that one, Rob, is to start simple, start small, and work with the customer on that journey. You're not going to be able to put in some of the complex security controls and monitoring tools overnight. There are a significant number of changes that need to be undertaken inside of any enterprise, and that is from a people, process and technology point of view. Obviously, there's potential costs involved with that. So we like to start small and simple and identify where some of the weaknesses are that we can make effective change in a relatively short, simple time space that's cost effective for the customer. In parallel with that, there is that maturity journey conversation that needs to be had. And we like to work with our customers in taking that up to their executive layer and assisting the customer in bringing those people that make the big decisions, those people that provide the funding to some of these programs that we're talking about, making sure that they're on board and understand the value proposition that taking this cybersecurity journey has for their business. At the end of the day, you know, the business owner needs to keep their eye on their financial business and reputational risks. I think helping them understand that mapping between their business and where cybersecurity sits is a very important conversation.
So, Nick, one of the unintended benefits that we've seen with our managed security service is not just solely around increasing maturity and solving security problems, but it's also about feeding this data, this intelligence, into IT managers, CIOs and CISOs, and understanding, helping them understand where they need to invest, where they need to focus, not just in security, but right across the network. Is this something that we see a lot? And is this something that is potentially different to looking at a technology fix for a particular component or outsourcing the environment to a SOC, for example?
That's absolutely right, Rob. Once we get the visibility inside a customer's environment and we start looking at their threat profile, you get to work with them with that knowledge and data at hand and start doing a bit of a check back on their security plan. And when you start seeing some of the compromise that's coming across, it allows you to target your investment strategy into putting in the right controls in place to move with the change of your workforce or the way that you deliver services to your customer and align that strategic spend into a more targeted sense. And we've seen that particularly over the COVID period, that the customer base has needed greater controls around their application sets, around their gateways with VPN tunnels, implementing multi-factor authentication, and we've really been able to help some customers tighten down the hatches to get through this COVID period.
So, Nick, we've covered a lot of ground over the last 15 minutes or so. At a high level, to summarise, what is it that's missing that we at Right are trying to fill the gap for?
Rob, really, it's about taking our customer on a journey and not just deploying tool sets. We want to give the customer a rich insight and visibility of their ICT landscape and make sure that they know exactly what's going on. There's a lot of tool sets and alerting mechanisms that customers have inside their environment, you know, across security, across networks, across platforms. I think giving the customer a sense of ease that somebody is looking at this for them and taking all of that mess out, triaging that information down into the succinct points that enable the customer to understand their environment is very important for them. Being able to assist the customers in closing down the vulnerabilities is key, and also making sure that you take that partner journey with the customer in allowing them to understand the changing of the cyber landscape. When you start culminating those things with a user awareness campaigns to make sure that everybody that is leveraging an ICT environment, once you start bringing that enhanced capability into the services that we provide, down through to their platforms and their end users, I think this starts bringing cybersecurity as a much easier concept for a customer to consume.
Thanks, Nick. Really appreciate your time. Some great insights there. That was Nick Long, Product Manager for our Managed Security Services here at Right Solutions, and we look forward to talking with you again soon.